This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويزيد الله الذين اهتدوا هدى والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير مردا صدق الله العظيم. So in verse 75, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sounded a warning to the disbelievers that today you're proud, you're arrogant, you're haughty, you're saying that you are mighty, you're strong, you're robust. But soon you will know, man huwa sharrum makana, whose abode is wicked, wa adhafu junda, and whose army is the weakest. Meaning on the day of Qiyamah, you will stand alone, you will have no army, no one to assist you. Then in verse 76, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa yazeedu Allahu alladhina ihtadaw huda. Allah will increase the guidance of those who are rightly guided. Just as in the previous verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الضَّلَالَةِ, the one who is in deviation, who opts for deviation, فَلْيَمْدُدْ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنُ مَدَّا, then Allah will give him respite in that. If that's what you opt in for and that's what you choose in, so be it. And the one who opts and inclines towards the truth and guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase him. Now here's an amazing point of reflection. Zada yazidu, basic Arabic, to increase. Wa yazidu Allahu alladhina ihtadaw huda, and those that are guided, Allah will increase them in guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put a limit to that. Allah said, oh, Allah will continue guiding them, which indicates to us that the journey of truth, of nobility, of virtue, of reformation continues. At no point have you fully accomplished, have you fully achieved. You've got all the accolades and the certificates to say, no. A person continues climbing and ascending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Fatah that, victory was given to you. لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا, to perfect the bounties of Allah upon you, وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا, and to further guide you on that straight path on which you are guided. Nobody can be more guided than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Allah told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the concluding verses of Surah Shura, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, that you guide people to the straight path. Meaning, إِرَاءَةُ الطَّرِيقِ, and the other one is إِصَالِ لَلْمَطْلُوبِ, as we will say. You show people the straight path. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَهْدِيَكَ, Allah will guide you. So what's the point, my brother? What's the reflection, my sister? The journey of truth, the need to better yourself, to improve yourself, to enhance yourself, just continues and continues. You're always learning. I give the simple analogy, and it's something that relates to me, and I'm sure many people would also, it would relate to others. So as a formal student, and I use the word formal because we're students our entire life, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ, above every learned person, there's someone more knowledgeable. But as a formal student in a seminary, sitting before your teacher, and as a child before your parent, you constantly hoping, aspiring to become a good child to your parent and to become a good student to your teacher. And you continue trying and, toiling in that regard. And then somewhat after a period of few years, you summit the hill, and when you look up, suddenly you have the cap of a father on you and the cap of a tutor on you. And now you're a teacher and you're a parent. And you could be a great child, but that doesn't make of a great teacher necessarily. You could be a brilliant student, and that doesn't necessarily make of a great teacher. So now it's a separate challenge altogether. I was trying to become a good child, but to become a good parent, it's a different. I'm raising children in a different time, in a different era, with different challenges. So now you try to see how you can learn better, improve yourself as a parent and then a grandparent and so on and so forth. So we continuously learning. وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى, Allah will increase. So I often say to people that many a times when you look at the feet, and the accomplishments of great people, then apart from the fact that others are impressed by their accolades, their achievements and their feat, even they themselves really did not anticipate acquiring this to such a great level. So you would speak to this person, wow, this is so amazing, so great. And he'll tell you, well, you know what? When I started my journey, I was unaware that I'm going to reach this pinnacle. I'm going to reach this point. But I just started taking the baby steps. I started taking the small steps. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired and took me to the next level and the next level. So apart from others being impressed or astounded or impressed or shocked, me myself also, I know for a fact that even I cannot achieve this. This is purely, truly, exclusively through the grace of Allah. In fact, when non-Muslims ask myself, I really don't know how you people fast in the month of Ramadan. I say to them, it's not only you that are surprised how we fast. Even I'm surprised how we fast. Even I myself, I'm surprised how we fast. Why? Because throughout the year, we're unable to achieve it. And in the month of Ramadan, Allah makes it possible. So come the 29th or the 30th of Sha'ban, we just drop everything, cold turkey, and the next morning you're getting up for suhoor. The night preceding that, you're indulging, you're having a good lavish spread. It's not like you're gradually slowing down. So it's only through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْ هُدَىٰ. Allah will increase you. Remember when the youth in the tale and the narrative of Kahf, when they stood before the king, and then Allah says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ. We strengthened their hearts when they stood and they said, رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. لَن نَدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا. We will not call out to any deity besides him. لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطَا. That would be a grave crime on our part. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَبَطْنَا أَيْ سَكَنَّاهَا عَنِ التَّزَلْزُلِ. سَكَنَّاهَا عَنِ التَّزَلْزُلِ مِمَّا أَمْسَكْنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْيَقِينِ. This is what the scholars have mentioned, that we kept them firm. So often you plan yourself, no, I'm going to be strong, I'm going to be committed, I'm going to be assertive, I'm going to express myself. But come the moment, you buckle under pressure. You buckle under pressure and you cannot be assertive. You cannot gather your thoughts. You're under pressure. You become nervous. You become apprehensive. Your speech is incoherent. You simply cannot communicate yourself. Can you imagine? These are youth, the tyrant there. You're going to lose your life. Everything else is going to go. وَرَبَطْنَا. Allah gave them strength. So you take the first step. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it possible for you beyond. And then Allah inspires you. Allah inspires you. So you vow that I'm going to make wudu and go to sleep and then see how Allah makes tahajjud possible for you. You say every day I'm going to recite Quran, and then you see how Allah makes it possible for you to increase in that regard. There is a verse in Surah An-Nisa in the 5th juz addressing a person in a polygamous relationship. And this is the profound nature of the Quran, the rich deductions of the Quran. So addressing a person who has multiple spouses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَن تَعْدِلُوا وَلَن تَسْتَطِيعُوا أَن تَعْدِلُوا بَيْنَ النِّسَاءِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ. You simply will not be able to maintain justice between your spouses. وَلَوْ حَرَصْتُمْ. Even if you aspire. فَلَا تَمِيلُوا كُلَّ الْمَيْلِ. Now, do not incline in totality towards one. فَتَذَرُوهَا. And in doing so, you leave the other one. أي الممال عليها. الممال عليها. You then disincline from one in totality. فتذروها. You then leave her كالمعلقة, hanging, and you just leave her in the balance. She doesn't feel like she's married to you because you don't give her the time, nor does she feel that she's a free woman because there is the bond of marriage. That is not how you should be behaving. What is meant here is that Islam has impressed upon a man. And now today people will not take the ayah in its complete context and understanding it. Islam has impressed upon a man that if you have multiple spouses, then you obviously need to be just between your spouses. And let me make a qualifying statement here. Islam has not only impressed justice if you have multiple spouses. Yes, it becomes more complex. when you have multiple spouses to execute fairness and justice. Otherwise, the command of being just with your spouse is, even if you have one spouse. So as a husband, I need to be just to my one wife. I need to be fair to my one wife. And likewise, a woman needs to be just and fair and execute justice to her husband. Generally, people think the ruling of justice only applies to two or more wives. No, that's wrong. That's incorrect. Islam calls upon justice with even one spouse. And hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. If you are afraid that you will not maintain justice between your spouses, فَوَاحِدَةً, then limit yourself to one spouse. Limit yourself to one spouse. I am on the topic. Let me just share with you a deeper reflection in this regard. So chapter 4, juz 4, verse 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. That marry from the woman that are permissible, two or three or four. Under this ayah, in Bayanul Quran, it is mentioned that the ayah gives you the permissibility. انْتِخَابُ الطِّيبِ وَأَنَّهُ مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ إِفْرَاطٌ أَوْ تَفْرِيطٌ لَا يُنَافِي الزُّهْدَةِ. وَأَمَّا الَّذِي يَخَافُ الْإِفْرَاطَ أَوِ التَّفْرِيطَ فَالْأَسْلَمُ لَهُ الْإِقْتِصَارُ عَلَى الْقَدْرِ الضَّرُورِ مِنْهَا. وَلِذَلِكَ أَشَارَ تَعَالَى لِمِثْلِ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ إِلَى هَذَا الْإِقْتِصَارِ فِي قَوْلِهِ فَوَاحِدًا وَذَكَرَ حِكْمَتَهُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَلَّا تَعُولُوا. The detail of Islam, the complete transparency of every ruling is just mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ. Right, the longest ayah in the Quran. In Ma'riful Quran, it is written that the fuqaha and the jurists have deduced 20 rulings and principles from this ayah regarding transaction and dealings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you afraid that you cannot be just and fair. Firstly, Allah said you have the permissibility, which indicates that Islam has given you permissibility to indulge moderately in the permissible things. And that's the balance. That's the practical nature of Islam. Islam is not saying, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Something is permissible within the limits, within the bounds. It is permissible. It's correct. Yes, there are limitations. There's a context. There's a qualifying statement. Understand the context. Understand the context. If you are afraid that you will not be just, then limit yourself to one. ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَلَّا تَعُولُوا. This is closer that you will not be unjust. So Allah didn't say if you have one wife, then you know what, guaranteed you will not oppress her. No, Allah said the chances are now less. عَلَى يَعُولُوا means to incline, meaning the chances are less that you will incline towards injustice because now you only have to take care of one. But that does not mean that the rules of justice do not apply to one spouse. Wallahi, nobody has given more respect, honor, and dignity to a woman than Islam. Now, coming back to the other verse also of Surah An-Nisa, Allah said, even if you were to try to maintain justice between all your spouses, you simply won't achieve it. Here in the latter verse, which I'm referencing in Surah An-Nisa as well, refers to the equal distribution of affection. And it does not refer to the distribution of time, of wealth, etc., but rather of the affection of the heart. You simply cannot, because it's outside your control. So you have multiple spouses, you cannot love each one equally. That's outside your control. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allahumma hadha qasmi fima amlik, fala tu'akhidni fima tamliku wala amlik. Oh Allah, this is my distribution between my spouses to the best of my ability. Do not hold me liable for that which is not in my control and in your control. And subhanallah, our Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam was so just, was so fair, that in his fatal illness, when his health did not allow him to go to his other spouses, and now he was not feeling physically strong, and he was obviously exempt, turji man tasha'u minhunna wa tu'wi ilayka man tasha'u, as referenced in Surah Al-Ahzab in the Quran, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would seek consent. He would seek consent. Aina ana ghadan? Tomorrow is which wife's chance? And they would say, it is this wife, radiyallahu anha. And he would modestly imply to them that, can I be based at one place given my ill health? La ilaha illallah. So, okay, I know it's been very academic, but let's get back to the point here. That even if you are unable to maintain that justice of affection between all, to love all, now let it not be because you like one more, your heart is inclining. Suddenly you shower her with everything. You give more importance to her parents. You give more importance to her siblings. You give more importance to her needs. And the other one, to whom somewhat your heart does not incline as much as the other one, you forsake her. فَتَذَرُوهَا أَيْ الْمُمَالَ عَلَيْهَا. You abandon her. لَا هِيَ ذَاتُ بَعْلٍ وَلَا هِيَ أَيِّمْ. She doesn't feel like she's married, nor does she feel like she's single. Because you just leave her, you neglect her, you abandon her. No, that's not correct. That's not correct. So under this ayah in Bayanul Quran, it is written, دَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَا يُتْرَكْ الْعَمَلَ الْأَدْنَى إِذَا لَمْ يَقْدِرْ عَلَىٰ الْأَعْلَىٰ. La ilaha illallah. We learn from this ayah that when you cannot achieve something at optimum, then don't forsake something which is basic and average. Let not what you cannot do prevent you from what you can do. So you're unable to do something, right? Okay, you don't have the ability to, you know what, perhaps stand in long prayers of tahajjud in the month of Ramadan and rise early. But surely you can perform 2 units before retiring to bed. Surely you can perform 2 units when getting up for suhoor. دَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَا يُتْرَكْ الْعَمَلَ الْأَدْنَى. If you cannot achieve the maximum, لَا يُتْرَكْ الْعَمَلَ الْأَدْنَى, then don't forsake the basic. So if you cannot distribute your love equally, which is outside your control, but then you can distribute your time equally, you can distribute your wealth equally, and you are expected, and it is the command of the Sharia to do that. Okay, we digress into this whole academic discussion. The point I was saying is, وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَىٰ, that Allah will increase you. You do the first step. Allah, I want to do this. مَنْ أَخَذَ أَمْوَالَ النَّاسِ يُرِيدُ أَدَاءَهَا أَدَّ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. If you borrowed money and you want to pay, Allah says, I will help you pay and I will make it possible for you to pay. You be committed to pay. ثَلَاثَةٌ حَقٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ عَوْنُهُمْ. 3 people are in the care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. النَّاكِحُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ الْعَفَافِ. The bride or the groom who ventures in the institution of marriage with the primary aim of protecting their modesty. And I often ask the question when performing the nikah to the groom, what's your intention of getting married? And they just give a smile and a chuckle. I mean, what do you mean intention? Intention? I mean, like, really? What was the intention? No, well, the Prophet ﷺ says, if your intention is to safeguard your chastity, then Allah will protect your chastity. And often it's the absence of this motivation that results, unfortunately, in infidelity, promiscuity, post-marriage as well. May Allah save us. Not to say that it is correct pre-marriage. No, not at all. Not at all. Any form of infidelity, disloyalty is repugnant and is unlawful, impermissible, and forbidden. So one is a person who intends getting married with the intention of protecting his chastity. Number 2, al-mujahidu fi sabilillah, the warrior in the path of Allah. And number 3, al-mukatab alladhi yuridu al-ada. Right? Mukatab is a context of a slave back in the old times, where his master had told him that, you know what, give me X amount of money and you can earn your freedom. But loosely, it could be extended. It could be extended to a debtor. It could be extended to a debtor. In fact, in Tafsir Uthmani, and I just have this flesh and I credit this to the Almighty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. That the pious are those that they feed despite the love of wealth, عَلَىٰ حُبِّ مِسْكِينًا, the poor, يَتِيمًا, the orphan, وَأَسِيرًا, and the captive. In Tafsir Uthmani, under this ayat is written, if you make little tawassu' in the meaning you broaden the implications of asir, that is a captive, it could easily include a debtor, that you feed in a debtor, you help in a debtor, you want to take him out of his debts. And it's important that we need to look into this as well. There are different types of charity. One is free people from debts, free people from debt. I know of a brother, may Allah bless him, Subhanallah, every year in the month of Ramadan, every year in the month of Ramadan, after Ramadan, he looks at people that are owing him money, and then he just wipes out X amount of debts. And he says, okay, this year we're clearing out five people who are genuine, who want to pay, but are struggling and having difficulty. The point again I'm coming to, you take the first step and then see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it possible. Okay, we'll leave it to that. We have only explored a portion of verse 76. وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْ هُدَىٰ. Allah will increase the guided ones in their guidance. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those fortunate people, and that we can also be given and increased in the good that Allah has blessed us with, so that we can further ascend and further climb this ladder of virtue and nobility until ultimately we meet our Creator. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.